Hello, my dears. This is the second night of 1001 Nights, and tonight we're gonna get off the cliffhanger and finish the story of the merchant and the three old sheikhs. So here we go. The first night finished when we were in the middle of the story of the first old man, who came with the gazelle. Then Shahrazad continued, when the merchant proposed the sacrifice of the calf but saw it weeping, his heart relented and he said to the herdsman, keep the calf among my cattle. All this the old sheikh told the jinni, who marveled much at these strange words. Then the owner of the gazelle continued, O lord of the kings of the Jann, this much took place, and my uncle's daughter, this gazelle, looked on and saw it, and said, butcher me this calf, for surely it is a fat one. But I bade the herdsman take it away, and he took it, and turned his face homewards. And the next day, as I was sitting in my own house, the herdsman came and, standing before me, said, O my master, I will tell thee a thing which shall gladden thy soul, and shall gain me the gift of good tidings. I answered, even so. So he said, O merchant, I have a daughter, and she learned magic in her childhood from an old woman. Yesterday, when thou gavest me the calf, I went into the house to her, and she looked upon it and veiled her face. Then she wept and laughed alternately, and at last she said, O my father, hath mine honor become so cheap to thee that thou bringest into me strange men? I asked, where be these strange men, and why wast thou laughing and crying? Of a truth, this calf which is with thee is the son of our master, the merchant, but he is ensorcelled by his stepdame, who bewitched both him and his mother. Such is the cause of my laughing. Now the reason of his weeping is his mother, for that his father slew her unawares. Then I marveled at this with exceeding marvel, and hardly made sure that day had dawned before I came to tell thee. When I heard, O Jinni, my herdsman words, I went out with him, and I was drunken without wine, from the excess of joy and gladness which came upon me, until I reached his house. There his daughter welcomed me and kissed my hand, and forthwith the calf came and fawned upon me as before. Quoth I to the herdsman's daughter, is this true that thou sayest of this calf? Quoth she, yea, O my master, he is thy son, the very core of thy heart. I rejoiced and said to her, O maiden, if thou wilt release him, thy shall be whatever cattle and property of mine are under thy father's hand. She smiled and answered, O my master, I have no greed for the goods, nor will I take them, save on two conditions. The first, that thou marry me to thy son, and the second, that I may bewitch her who bewitched him and imprison her. Otherwise I cannot be safe from her malice and malpractices. Now when I heard, O Jinni, these the words of the herdsman's daughter, I replied, beside what thou askest, all the cattle and the household stuff in thy father's charge are thine, and as for the daughter of my uncle, her blood is lawful to thee. When I had spoken, she took a cup and filled it with water. Then she recited a spell over it and sprinkled it upon the calf, saying, if Almighty Allah created thee a calf, remain so shaved, and change not. But if thou be enchanted, return to thy whilom form, by command of God. And lo, he trembled and became a man. Then I fell on his neck and said, ah, God upon thee, tell me all that the daughter of my uncle did to thee, and by thy mother. And when he told me what had come to pass between them, I said, O my son, God favoured thee with one to restore thee, and thy right hath returned to thee. Then I married the herdsman's daughter to him, and transformed my wife into this gazelle, saying, her shape is comely, and by no means loathsome. After this, she abode with us night and day, day and night, till the Almighty took her to himself. When she deceased, my son fared forth to the cities of Hind, even to the city of this man who hath done to thee what hath been done. And I also took this gazelle, my cousin, and wandered with her from town to town seeking tidings of my son, till destiny drove me to this place where I saw this merchant sitting in tears. Such is my tale, quoth the Jinni. This story is indeed strange, and therefore I grant thee the third part of his blood. Thereupon the second old man, who owned the two greyhounds, came up and said, O Jinni, if I recount to thee what befell me from my brothers, these two hounds, and thou see that it is a tale even more wondrous and marvellous than what thou hast heard, wilt thou grant me also the third of this man's blood? Replied the Jinni, thou hast my word for it, if thine adventures be more marvellous and wondrous. Thereupon he thus began, these two dogs are my brothers, and I am the third. Now when our father died, he left us a capital of 3,000 gold pieces. I opened a shop with my share, and bought and sold therein. And in like guise did my two brothers, each setting up a shop. But I had been in business no long while before the elder sold his stock for 1,000 dinars, and after buying outfit and merchandise, went his ways to foreign parts. He was absent 1 whole year with the caravan, but one day as I sat in my shop, behold, a beggar stood before me asking alms, and I said to him, Allah open thee another door. Whereupon he answered, weeping the while, am I so changed that thou knowest me not? Then I looked at him narrowly, and lo, it was my brother. So I rose to him and welcomed him. Then I seated him in my shop and put questions concerning this case. Ask me not, he answered. My wealth is a waste, and my estate hath waxed unstated. So I took him to the hammam bath and clad him in a suit of my own and gave him lodgings in my house. Moreover, after looking over the accounts of my stock in trade and profits of my business, I found that industry had gained me 1,000 dinars, while my principal, the head of my wealth, amounted to 2,000. So I shared the whole with him, saying, assume that thou hast made no journey abroad, but hast remained at home, and be not cast down by thine ill luck, good brother. He took the share in great glee, and opened for himself a shop, and matters went on quietly for a few nights and days, but presently my second brother, also setting his heart upon travel, sold off what goods and stock in trade he had, and albeit we tried to stay him, he would not be stayed. He laid in an outfit for the journey, and fared forth with certain wayfarers. After an absence of a whole year, he came back to me even as my elder brother had come back. And when I said to him, O my brother, did I not dissuade thee from the travel? He shed tears and cried, O my brother, this be destiny's decree. Here I am, a mere beggar, penniless, and without a shirt on my back. So I let him in, and clothing him in new clothes of my own wear, I went with him to my shop and served him with meat and drink. Furthermore, I said to him, O my brother, I am wont to cast up my shop accounts at the head of every year, and whatso I shall find of surplusage is between me and thee. So I proceeded, O Ifrit, to strike a balance, and finding 2,000 dinars of profit, I returned praises to the Creator, and made over one half to my brother, keeping the other to myself. Thereupon he busied himself in opening a shop, and on this wise we abode many days. After a time my brothers began pressing me to travel with them, but I refused, saying, what gained ye by travel voyage that I should gain thereby? As I would not give ear to them, we went back each to his own shop, where we bought and sold as before. They kept urging me to travel for a whole 12 months, but I refused to do so, till full 6 years were passed and gone, when I consented with these words, my brothers, here I am, your companion of travel. Now let me see what monies you have by you. I found, however, that they had not a doit, having squandered their substance in high diets and drinking and carnal delights. Idiots. Yet I spoke not a word of reproach. So far from it, I looked over my shop accounts once more, and sold what goods and stock in trade were mine. And finding myself the owner of 6,000 ducats, I gladly proceeded to divide that sum in halves, saying to my brothers, "These 3,000 gold pieces are for me and for you to trade withal," adding, "Let us bury the other moiety on the ground, that it may be service in case any harm befall us, in which case each shall take 1,000 wherewith to open shops." Both replied, "Right is thy recking," and I gave to each one his 1,000 gold pieces, keeping the same sum for myself, to wit, 1,000 dinars. We then got ready suitable goods, and hired a ship, and having embarked our merchandise, proceeded on our voyage. Day following day, a full month after which, we arrived at the city, where we sold our venture, and for every piece of gold we gained 10. And as we turned again to our voyage, we found on the shore of the sea a maiden, clad in worn and ragged gear. And she kissed my hand and said, "O master, is there kindness in thee and charity? I can make thee a fitting return for them." I answered, "Even so, truly in me are benevolence and good works, even though thou render me no return." Then she said, "Take me to wife, O my master, and carry me to thy city, for I have given myself to thee, so do me a kindness, and I am of those who be meet for good works and charity. I will make thee a fitting return for these, and be thou not shamed by my condition." When I heard her words, my heart yearned towards her, and took her and clothed her, and made ready for her a fair resting place in the vessel, and honorably entreated her. So we voyaged on, and my heart became attached to her with exceeding attachment, and I separated from her neither night nor day, and I paid more regard to her than to my brothers, than they were estranged from me, and waxed jealous of my wealth and the quantity of merchandise I had, and their eyes were opened covetously upon all my property. So they took counsel to murder me and seize my wealth, saying, "Let us slay our brother, and all his monies will be ours." And Satan made this deed seem fair in their sight. So when they found me in privacy, and I sleeping by my wife's side, they took us both up and cast us into the sea. My wife awoke startled from a sleep, and forthright becoming an ifritah, she bore me up and carried me to an island and disappeared for a short time. But she returned to me in the morning and said, "Here I am, thy faithful slave, who hath made thee due recompense, for I bore thee up in the waters and saved thee from death by command of the Almighty. Know that I am a jinniya." It's the female form of jinni. "And as I saw thee, my heart loved thee by will of the Lord, for I am a believer in Allah and his apostle. Whereupon I came to thee conditioned as thou sawest me, and thou didst marry me. And see now, I have saved thee from sinking, but I am angered against thy brothers, and assuredly I must slay them." When I heard her story, I was surprised, and thanking her for all she had done, I said, "But as to slaying my brothers, this must not be." Then I told her the tale of what had come to pass between them from the beginning of our lives to the end. And on hearing it, quoth she, "This night will I fly as a bird over them, and will sink their ship and slay them." Quoth I, "God upon thee, do not thus. For the proverb saith, 'O thou who doest good to him that doeth evil, leave the evildoer to his evil deeds.' Moreover, they are still my brothers." But she rejoined, "By Allah, there is no help for it, but I slay them." I humbled myself before her for their pardon, whereupon she bore me up and flew away with me, till at last she set me down on the terrace roof of my own house. I opened the doors and took up what I had hidden in the ground, and after I had saluted the folk, I opened my shop and bought me merchandise. Now when night came on, I went home, and there I saw these two hounds tied up, and when they sighted me, they arose and whined and fawned upon me, and ere I knew what happened, my wife said, "These two dogs be thy brothers." I answered, "And who hath done this thing by them?" And she rejoined, "I sent a message to my sister, and she entreated them on this wise, nor shall these two be released from their present shape until 10 years shall have passed. And now I have arrived at this place, on my way to my wife's sister, that she may deliver them from this condition, after they have endured it for 50 years. He's still showing mercy to his brothers. As I was wending onwards, I saw this young man, who acquainted me to what had befallen him, and I determined not to fare hence until I should see what might occur between thee and him. Such is my tale." Then said the genie, "Surely this is a strange story, and therefore I give thee the third portion of his blood." Thereupon quoth the third sheikh, the master of the mare mule, to the genie, "I can tell thee a tale more wondrous than these two, so thou grant me the remainder of his blood and of his offence." And the genie answered, "So be it." Then the old man began by saying, "This mule was my wife. Surprise, surprise. Now it so happened that I went forth and was absent 1 whole year. And when I returned from my journey, I came to her by night and saw a black slave lying with her." Again, old with the black slave. "And I saw a black slave lying with her on the carpet bed, and they were talking and dallying and laughing and kissing and playing the close buttock game." What is a buttock game? That's some dirty things happening over here. "When she saw me, she arose and came hurriedly at me with a goglet of water, and muttering spells over it, she besprinkled me and said, 'Come forth from this thy shape into the shape of a dog.' And I became on the instant a dog. She drove me out of the house, and I ran through the doorway, nor ceased running until I came to a butcher's stall, where I stopped and began to eat what bones were there. When the stall owner saw me, he took me and led me into his house. But as soon as his daughter had sight of me, she veiled her face from me, crying out, 'Doest thou bring men to me?' Her father asked, 'Where is the man?' And she answered, 'This dog is a man whom his wife hath ensorcelled, and I am able to release him.' When her father heard her words, he said, 'Allah upon thee, O my daughter, release him!' So she took a goglet of water, and after uttering words over it, sprinkled upon me a few drops, saying, 'Come forth from that form into thy former form.' And I returned to my natural shape. Then I kissed her hand and said, 'I wish thou wouldst transform my wife, even as she transformed me.' Thereupon she gave me some water, saying, 'As soon as thou see her asleep, sprinkle this liquid upon her, and speak the words thou heardest me utter. So shall she become whatsoever thou desirest.' I went to my wife and found her fast asleep, and while sprinkling the water upon her, I said, 'Come forth from that form into the form of a mare mule.' So she became on the instant a she-mule, and she is whom thou seest with thine eyes. Then the genie turned towards her and said, 'Is this sooth?' And she nodded her head and replied by signs, 'Indeed.' So the mare mule talks, 'Indeed, 'tis the truth, for such is my tale, and this is what hath befallen me.' Now when the old man ceased speaking, the genie shook with pleasure and gave him the third of the merchant's blood." Now Shahrazad perceived the dawn of day and ceased saying her permitted say. Then quoth Dunyazad, "How pleasant is thy tale, and how tasteful, how sweet, and how grateful." She replied, "And what is this compared with what I could tell thee the night to come, if I live and the king spare me?" Then thought the king, "By God, I will not slay her until I hear the rest of her tale, for truly it is wondrous." So they rested the night in mutual embrace until the dawn. After this, the king went forth to his hall of estate, and the vizier and the troops came in, and the court was crowded, and the king gave orders, and judged, and appointed, and deposed, and bidding and forbidding during the rest of the day. Then the divan broke up when King Shahryar entered his palace. This was all that happened in the second night and day. I hope you enjoyed, and I wish you a great night's sleep. Adios!